Welcome back, everyone. We've had a lot of chatter on the Q&A panel.
Yep.
And some of you have had trouble installing installing Git. Something went wrong. It might have been a firewall. There might be something there. What we want to do is readdress it. Now, we can't troubleshoot everybody's. I think there's 2,600 attendees or registered folks. So we won't be able to troubleshoot everyone's firewall issues or those sorts of things. But what we do want to do is make sure that we have led people down the path and we at least have those steps.
Yeah.
Is that fair, James?
Totally.
Let's run through that potentially one more time. And I'm going to go to the slides and I am going to post people to this download. Some people have had trouble with Chocolaty for one reason or another.
Yep.
I've always had great success. One person didn't have PowerShell installed. So if you are on an operating system before Windows 7, so if you're a Windows 95 person or a Windows XP person, you do need to install PowerShell, and I didn't even catch that. You don't need to install PowerShell.
That was a big assumption that we
took. It was. Mm-hmm. We assume anything beyond Windows 7. But if you're using, if you need to install PowerShell, that's going to be beyond the scope. Just go straight here and download the Windows version itself rather than having to install PowerShell. You can kind of skip over the PoshGit stuff. You'll see some of the niceties that PoshGit provides. But to make it easy, if you're on something earlier than Windows 7 and you don't have PowerShell installed, go straight here to this Git download. Or if you've had any troubles downloading and installing, please just, you can head right here and walk through the Git setup. All of the defaults will get you there. Mm-hmm. You can also search for GitHub for Windows. That's another Windows installer that will install and configure Git underneath. Mm-hmm. So that's another option. But to walk through, I want to go through the steps very carefully, one by one, one more time, and then we can roll into getting started with Git. This next session, this session three, is really just one solid demo anyway. So rather than roll back the slides, my recommendation is we walk through this, the install one more time, James, and then we'll go straight into a demo of how we might want to configure and use it in production. Let's take a look. Installing Git on Windows, I'm going to leave this and go back here, and we're going to start all over one more time. I'm going to Chocolaty, and I'm going to do the Chocolaty install. For people. Again, you may need to go another path through. That would be just fine.
Right. This takes a dependency on PowerShell itself here.
This takes a dependency on PowerShell.
So if you do not have PowerShell, you're going to have to go through a different route.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I went to Chocolaty.org. I copied this thing to install Chocolaty. Mm-hmm. I then fired up a command prompt. And I right-clicked the command prompt and chose Run as Administrator.
Yep.
So step one, go to Chocolaty. In fact, if you want to type out a quick Word document, I mean a text document that might have those steps, we can attach it during the next break.
Okay, I'll set that up.
We'll set that up and attach the various steps at the next break to the downloads. Mm-hmm. The command prompt, Run as Administrator. So step one, go to Chocolaty, get that command. Step two, run your command shell as an administrator. Right-click, paste. This will install PowerShell.
Yep.
It will not install. It'll install Chocolaty.
Yep. It's important to run this as an administrator.
Yes. If you don't run this as an administrator,
it will fail. Yep.
Once this is run, I'm not going to actually run it.
Yep.
Because I already have it installed. So after you've finished step three, which is to install Chocolaty with this command. Mm-hmm. So refresh. Step one, get this command from Chocolaty.org. Step two, open the command prompt as an administrator.
Yep.
Step three, paste it in and run it. Step four, close that window. This is very important that you close that window. If you don't, and you try to type cinst at this point, it won't find it because it's added it to the path. You need to reopen it.
I've seen some cases where it does actually reload the path variable, but to be safe,
Close it and reopen it. At this point, I'm going to go into PowerShell. I'm going to run PowerShell as an administrator as well.
Yep.
At this point, PowerShell is up and running. We next need to set the execution policy for PowerShell. Mm-hmm. By default, PowerShell does not run on computers. It ships in a disabled state.
Yep.
So what we need to do is type set execution policy unrestricted. If you're having trouble, you know what? For this, for the purposes of this thing, you could run it as unrestricted.
Totally change that afterwards.
Yeah. I do not like that. Remote signed always runs fine. So I'm going to set the execution policy to remote signed. Mm-hmm. That doesn't let arbitrary PowerShells from other computers run against your machine unless they're digitally signed with something you approve of.
Yep.
I like remote signed. It's the most secure. If for some reason you wanted to use unrestricted, that's fine.
Yeah.
Remote signed. It prompts me, yes.
This will fail if you do not have it open as an administrator.
Right. This would actually fail for
you. Yep.
So step 1, 2, 3, and 4, get Chocolaty installed. Step 5, open up PowerShell as an administrator, set execution policy as remote signed.
Yep.
Close PowerShell and reopen. You probably don't need to at this point. Yep. I can keep it as an administrator. Got it in. And then check it out by just typing cinst. That's going to spend a lot of time searching through the repositories to just find out what's out there,
yep.
And it's nothing. Or you could type cinst whack question mark. That would be return a lot faster.
Yep.
And at that point, type cinst poshgit, or if you're having trouble with poshgit, cinst git.
Yep. Poshgit is just extra stuff on top of git.
Yep.
That's all it is.
You do not need it.
Yep.
If you just want git, you can type cinst git if poshgit is giving you grief.
Mm-hmm.
But on our steps we did cinst poshgit,
yep.
And we ran it. I could actually run it. It won't hurt anything.
Yep. It'll say it's already installed.
Yep. Once we did cinst poshgit, one more thing to install, cinst
git-credential-winstore.
Is it credential or credentials?
Credential.
Credential winstore. Cinst git-credential Winstore and enter. At this point, you basically have Git installed but not configured.
Yep.
Now, do you want to check the Q&A panel just to see if there's a lot of issues? If there's just one or two, I do apologize. We won't be able to come back and fix that. However, you'll be able to do the Git with Visual Studio without doing any install.
Yep. So it looks like somebody is having an issue with cinst not being recognized as a commandlet or function.
Okay. The number one problem if cinst isn't recognized is if it's installed correctly, you'll just need to close the command prompt and reopen it. That
yep.
reloads the path. So if you have a problem with it not being recognized, close it, reopen it. That should resolve it. If not, something happened with Chocolaty on the install, and we won't unfortunately be able to handle that. What I would recommend you do is go to git-scm.org. It's the main repository for it. /windows/win will get you to the Windows install and go and install it from that point.
Mm-hmm.
James, after we did that, we did one more thing to get us set up for it and make us running. We had to configure two things.
Yep. But at bare minimum, we have to configure the username as well as the email. And so to do that, we want to write git:config --global user.name and space your name. That's for the name, and
yep.
the email is the same, but with an email. And we'll type this out as well.
Yep, and we'll provide this to you as well. I mean, and you'll see I can do it a couple times. It doesn't hurt to redo anything.
Yep, and I've been seeing a lot of people not being able to have git actually be recognized as a command as well. So could we go ahead and set the variable path for git? Show that how we do that as well.
Set the variable path? Absolutely.
Or set the path variable.
Sure.
Yep.
In fact, do you want to turn over to your machine to set the path variable? And we're going to go over to James' machine in just a moment. And James is going to walk us through setting up once more, setting that path, and then walking us into module 3.
Yeah. Sounds great.
All right. James, let's flip over to your machine.
Let's go ahead and go to my machine. Awesome.
And now, user's James Tepper instead of Stephen Borg.
Yep. So basically, a lot of people I've been seeing have the issue of when they type git, it's not being recognized. And essentially, we need to set the path variable. So to do that, if you're on a Windows 8 or up machine, if you just hit Windows X, it'll bring up this little thing here. Windows 7 and before, you hit the Windows or the Start button down here. You find My Computer, you right click and you say Properties. Does the same thing, brings you to System. If you hit Windows X, you can hit System and it'll bring you to the same computer here. The next thing we want to do is go to Advanced System Settings. And that will bring us here to the System Properties page. Make sure we're under the Advanced tab. And at the bottom, we have our environment variables. Again, I'm walking through this using Windows 8, so the workflow for this might be a little different for other versions of Windows. Sure. But once we find that, we click environment variables. And now we have variables for just for me, as well as system variables. So what we want to do is we want to go to system variables. I just type in P, and that brings me to the path variable. What we need to do is we need to add the path to the git command here so that when we type git into PowerShell or command prompt, it actually picks it up automatically.
And this is something that Chocolaty does for you automatically. Yeah. This is one of the reasons Chocolaty is pretty nice. You don't have to set the path.
Yep.
That git install that you get from the Windows one that you get from gitscm.org also will set the path variable for you. Mm-hmm. But if for some reason you had trouble setting the path, here's where you would do that.
Yep. And to do that one more time, let's go ahead and go to... If we open up a Windows Explorer and we go find where our Git was installed, if you installed it using Chocolaty, it will be under the Chocolaty folder. Is it under? Nope. Chocolaty install. Where? Is it under library? There it is. Library. Find Git. Tools. That's not where it is. I can't remember where.
I don't remember where it is either. Chocolaty handles it all for us.
There it is. Sorry. Okay. See program files.
Git.
And we want to grab, is it in the bin? Yep. So there's the git executable. So we want to grab this path here. Control C, copy it.
So for those of you who are on older systems that are not 64-bit, it would be /program/files/git/bin for the normal install. Otherwise, it's an x86 tool, so it'd be in the x86 directory.
Yep. So we grab that path, and then what we want to do with this path is we say edit, and it's very important here not to put spaces in between things. So I'm just going to hit the end key to go to the very end of it, and it's all semicolon delimited, so we just go ahead and run, we type semicolon, don't put a space, and paste it in. And once we do that, we just go ahead and hit OK. I already have it there, so I'm going to hit cancel. And then once we're done, we just hit OK. And that should set our path variable.
Yep. Something, you will need to open your window again. Yeah, you will need to open the command prompt again.
Yeah. So if you set that and you already have a command prompt or a PowerShell open, you will need to close it and reopen it for it to read that path variable one more time. So let's check the Q&A.
Yep. And next... I'm going to kind of actually come back to the slides one more time on my machine, just one moment. And so that we can walk through what we will be talking about in Git Basics, because we did refresh that.
Yep.
So let's talk about what we're talking about in Chapter 3. For those of you who are having difficulty installing, we'll post, again, those scripts. Additionally, for download, we will spend some time working with you potentially through lunch. Also, Sachi's online. She can also help get you connected. Special call out to Sachi. Thanks for all that help already.
Yay!
Huge call out. And any of you else who's answering questions on there, we really appreciate it. So let's take a look back at Git Basics and what we're going to cover in this section. So if you look at my monitor on Git Basics, you're going to find the slide. We're going to jump into a couple things. With Git 101, before we get into the demo, a couple things that I'm just going to call out now because we're going to see it later, but every operation here in Git is local. Git generally is going to only add data, and as James will show you, there's three states we have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of important to differentiate those two. When we get into more advanced ones, we'll talk about the snapshots, not differences, but these are things we might be talking about. In other words, in Git, we're storing kind of snapshots of what your file system looks like.
Yep.
So let's walk through some of those in our demo. This is really just where do we start, how on earth do we contribute, and how can we collaborate across so that we can work with one another,
yep.
James. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a very simple setup. We're trying to get through what you would do if you didn't know Git, but someone called you on the phone and said, hey, we've got a new Git repo up here. We want you to work on our project. Please make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You walk through the process to install Git. Now, James will show you the way where you absolutely have to install Git. If you cannot install Git, Visual Studio has it built in if you're using Visual Studio mm-hmm. 2013. In that case, we just pop in and I'll start using Git.
Yep.
You don't even have to have it installed and it still works with Visual Studio 2013.
Yep.
So,
do we want to first start with cloning a repository?
You know what? I think that's a great idea because I could just called you on the phone. James, can you go prep this? Are you going to start work on this? And,
yep.
and James is going to go in. He's going to have to reach out to a repository that I just told him about.
Mm-hmm.
We've got one called MVA-Git
yep.
on our repo on VSO.
Yep.
Pop out there and show people how you might find a repo and pull it down.
So here I'm just going to go ahead and go to our MVA-Git. And what this does is this brings us to Visual Studio Online. We're already connected to Visual Studio Online. And part of this is one of my team projects. One of our team projects is called MVA-Git, and that's what you'll see up here. And one of the repositories in here is called Demo. If we hit this, we can see other repositories in there as well. But we're going to start with our demo. And what we want to do is Steve called me up and said, hey, I just put this demo repository up on VSO. And I want you to contribute to it. So how do I do that? They've made it very simple here. What you need to do is grab this repository and bring it to your local machine. There's a little button here over on the right-hand side. I've seen people get a little lost trying to find that clone button. But the action to do that is called cloning a repository. And so to do so, what we need to do is you need to run git clone and then where the repository is located. Git handles many protocols such as HTTP, file protocols, SSH, and Git. There is an actual Git protocol. Since we're using VSO, we're just going to use HTTPS. So at the beginning, you can see we're just using HTTP. This is the location of our Git repository, nwcadence.visualstudio.com, some stuff, and then wherever it's at. So when we hit this clone button, it brings it up, it highlights it, so all we have to do is hit Control C to copy it.
Excellent.
Copy.
So clone, you're not just getting latest.
Nope. We're actually getting the repository and putting a local copy of the repository onto our local machine.
Can you show me history? Do you already have history up here on this repository?
Yep. I already have some history here. So if I click the history button, I can see I added a few things here. I contributed some stuff. Basically, a couple adds, some merges, that sort of thing. And we can actually look at the branches as well and see that there's a couple branches and where those branches are at, whether they're ahead, behind, that sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Ahead and behind, I think we'll explain that later.
Yeah. When it won't really make sense right now. Right.
But you have some history
yep.
in your repo. Got it.
Have some history.
Good.
Sweet. So what we need to do is go back to the command line, and we just say git clone, and then we paste in that repository address right there, just like that. Real simple, and that will bring it down. By default, it's going to put it into a folder, a subfolder that is called the repository name. So we can see here that demo is the repository name. So when I hit enter, it's going to create a demo directory and then bring that repository into that directory.
What if you wanted to call it something else? Could you call it something else in this git clone?
You can totally call it something else. You just hit space and put in a new name, and it will create that folder rather than demo.
Okay.
Yep. So go ahead and hit enter, and it will clone. So if you didn't install the credential store, it would prompt you in command prompt or PowerShell, whichever you're using, for your username and password. Since I have the Git credential store installed, it pops up a Windows security box, and I can enter my username and password here. And that will store it. And that means that anytime I do any sort of server client communication that requires authentication, I don't have to do it. It just automatically saves it and puts it in there for me. So I put that in there, hit OK. and it will clone it to my local machine. And there it is, really, really fast. Not, we don't have a lot of history, we don't have a lot of files, but that's what it is, right? So we have all that stuff. And now what we can do is if I hit dir, I can see that we have that demo. We now have our demo directory there. And if I want to CD into that demo directory, we'll notice something interesting happens at the command prompt. So this is where PoshGit kind of comes into play. PoshGit gives us this kind of heads-up display almost. It's somewhat of a just indication of where you are with your Git repository. So when you see this little these brackets pop up and you see master, what that means is that we're within a Git repository, right? When you see those brackets, that means PoshGit recognizes it as a Git repository. And master means that's the branch that we're on. When you create a new repository, master is the default branch that's created with that. So when we're on that, we can see that we have that. If we do another dir and type that in there, we can see that we have fun and index. And if we pop back to Visual Studio Online and go back to Explorer, those are the two different files that we have located there.
Do you have history locally?
Yes. So if we want to see history locally...
And you don't need to remember any of these commands, by the way. These commands we're going to be talking about in depth later. But I'm just curious. I want to know.
If I just type git log, that's just going to give me all my history. So what these are is they're commits. Other version controls might call them check-ins, that sort of thing. But we can see here that we have a commit, the commit hash, which we'll talk about what that is later, the author. We also have merge commits. We'll talk about how those come into play later as well. We have the date, and then the comment of the commit itself. So notice that the author is James Tupper, my display name, as well as my email address, right? And we can go down and we can see the commit. We can also format this in other ways, right? We can see git log. If we type in dash dash all, we see it for every single one. It brings in one extra commit because there's some commits on a different branch, right? If we wanted to see it in a different fashion, we can say git log one line. And that brings it in and just says minister hash and the comment.
Perfect. Let's keep it simple, though.
Yes, keep it simple.
You're just going to want to do some work on this branch.
Yep.
How do you do some work? Because now you've pulled it down. We've gotten the first thing, which was I asked you to fix this thing, gave you the repo. You went and grabbed it, pulled it down. Now what do you do?
So we just want to start editing files, right?
Yep.
So we can do that from the command line. We can go ahead and find it in Windows Explorer and open it up. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to type in notepad. index.html. Now, notice that it just skipped to index.html. I typed IND and hit tab, and PoshGit auto-completed for me.
Woo-hoo!
Right? That's one of the cool things about PoshGit. It will not only tab complete there, but it will also tab complete git commands, which is really nice.
It is.
So if I hit that, it'll actually just bring this up. Now, what was the thing that you wanted me to fix on that, Steve?
You know, when I take a look at it, I want to link back to the MVA Academy at the bottom. I really think it's important that people be able to come right to the MVA Academy.
Perfect. Okay. So let's go ahead and do that.
And I can get you that email address, I mean that web URL.
So we already have a URL at the bottom here, so I'm just going to copy that and paste it a couple times. And just modify it. So
perfect. It's MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com. And instead of let's have fun, let's learn some stuff. That's what I'm looking to have.
Excellent.
Awesome.
So now that when we're done with it, we just go ahead and hit Control S, save it, and close the file. Now, if I hit enter just once on my command prompt here, we now get a little bit more from that PoshGit heads-up display there. This is kind of showing us the three states that we have. Not necessarily... It shows the states using colors, and it shows adds, deletions, and edits using these different ones here, right? An added file is a plus, a deleted file is a minus, and the tilde one means I edited one file. If I go ahead and hit git status, we'll notice that we have one file changed, but it hasn't been staged. So these are the different stages, the different types of...
Different places, different status.
Status is that the files can be in, right? Essentially, we have modified, staged, and unmodified, right? So if something's unmodified, that means it's at the latest version, it's not being tracked, you haven't changed it at all. If it's been staged, it means it's in the staging. And we'll talk about what staging means, but it will get into the staging status, which you can then commit. You can only commit things that are in the staging status. So remember, there's unmodified, which means that it's already been checked in and we haven't touched it yet, modified, and then staged. And you can only commit staged files. So how do we stage a file that we want to commit to the repository? We just go ahead and say git add and then the file name. Right? Go ahead and add it. And now we can see that the stage, once we staged it, it changes the status of the poshgit shows us a different status. That means green, which means that we're in somewhat of a clean state. Everything's been staged. And we write git status one more time, we'll get a little bit of a different message. We'll say, these are the changes to be committed. Whereas our previous status was, these are the changes not going to be committed. Basically, they haven't been staged.
So I want to pull this back. And we're going to see what it looks like maybe a little bit in Visual Studio, which will be maybe more familiar with folks. But think of it this way. That unmodified thing, that you're just adding stuff to version control. You've added a file, and if you've used other version control systems, you can have files and directories that aren't tracked by version control. This is what that red thing is. It's something that's hanging out, not tracked, none of the changes are tracked. You can add new files in here, they're untracked. Only by adding them to version control do they start to be tracked. So you right-click or you add, you call that add command you added. But what's different about Git is that even if you have something in version control, it's a file you've already added to version control, it doesn't automatically pick up changes to that file. You still have to specifically tell it, I want to take those changes to the things that are in version control and track them.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. We'll get into some of the in-depth stuff later, but for the most part, this is that thing you have. Make an edit, add the changes to be ready to be committed.
Our staging area.
To our staging area.
Yep.
And then commit.
Yep.
Later. Right.
So now that we've modified it, we've staged it into the staging area, we want to commit it to our repository. So when we do that, we just type git commit. If we type just git commit, it's gonna pop up with our default editor, which we've changed to Notepad, where we put in our git message. You should use this. I'm going to take the shortcut and just say git commit dash m, which means that I'm going to type my commit message right here on the command line and say add link to the Microsoft Virtual Academy. Just like that. And all I do is hit enter. And we now have that committed to our repository. Something to note here is that we have added that to our local repository that has not been reflected to Visual Studio Online or the public repository that we just cloned from. So if we do a git log here, we'll notice that at the top of it, we have our new git commit. But if we go back to Visual Studio Online and we go to our commits, we don't see that.
So there's a difference between commit and what you would normally find as a check-in in a centralized version control system.
Yep. And this is where you can start doing versioning locally, right? We can do commits locally before we have to push up to wherever our public repository is at. But the next thing we want to do is actually get that commit up to a public repository so that Steve can pull it down. So if I go back to my command line, there we go. Get back to our command line here. We want to push that. So when I clone, we'll talk about remotes and origin and that sort of stuff later. But when I clone, what it does is it brings down all the branches, the master branch, the default branch, as well as adds a remote to the origin. When that happens, that's our default pushing remote. So when we type git push, by default, it's just going to push up there. If we want to specify that remote, we just type git push origin, right? And by default, it's always going to be origin, is the place you cloned from.
Yep. And we'll show you how to change that and modify that as we go. But because you can have multiple places you push things to.
Yep. Yep. So when we do that, we go ahead and hit enter.
Now, what is all this text? There's just a massive amount of text up here.
It's basically telling me, it's giving me warning. So Git is basically telling us it's going to be changing its behavior once Git 2.0 comes out. So you can either change it now or change it later. So what I'm going to do is just say git config global push.default simple. Squelch this message and adopt the new behavior now, use that command, right? And Git's pretty good about that, right? If you're looking for status or doing a log or something like that, you can usually the git commands come out of it, right? It'll tell you what to run when you need to do something, such as if you staged a file accidentally, how do you unstage it? Or you modified a file accidentally, how do you unmodify it? That sort of thing. It'll tell you that. So I'm going to just run that, and next time I run a git push, that's not going to show up for me. We noticed on the first try that the authentication failed. I've been seeing that recently. I'm not quite sure why, but if we run it again, it's going to pop up that credential store, and I hit enter before I can put a password in. And there we go. Now, notice something here. When we pushed, it got rejected. What that means is that Steve was meddling with the public repository before I got a chance to push my code.
And I did this on purpose. One was his failed. I wanted to jump in and make sure I could contribute. But this is a highlight in Git. When you're working with other people, you will get rejected if you don't grab their changes. I made a change up there.
Yep.
Go take a look at it. You can see I made some pretty awesome changes.
Yep. So if we go here and just refresh this page, we'll notice that there's Steve. He added some stuff to our fun.html.
Yep.
So something to note is that he modified a file completely separate from the file I modified. It's still not going to merge. Git requires you to merge the changes locally before you can push. There are other systems that will merge automatically if the changes are completely separate and they aren't conflicting. Git's not like that. So if I want to merge, if I want to be able to push, I have to merge his changes into mine before I can do that.
One of the interesting things here is that this is that difficulty that distributed version controls have that local version or centralized don't have. I've created a bunch of history on my local one and I've pushed it to the server. I now have this unique history. Now the problem is even if James is editing a different file, he's creating another path to the history. And unfortunately, these two paths have to be reconciled. And we'll talk about how Git does history tracking in a bit. But the fact is, now, because of the way Git works, and all distributed version control systems, I have to make sure I have understood and have the full history locally before I can push back up.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get my changes? How do you pull those down?
There's a couple ways. I'm going to take somewhat of a shortcut this time because we'll talk through how to do it a little more in depth later. But essentially what we need to do is we need to run a fetch, which will get the history, right? Because we have all the history locally. We need to get the history locally so that we can see, can we merge it? And then we have to merge our changes in with, well, I have to merge my changes in with Steve's changes. We can do that all in one command called a pull. So you can either do a fetch and then a merge, or you can do a fetch, or you can just do a pull and it will do a fetch and a merge all in one action. So dropping down to the command line one more time, go ahead and write git pull origin, and that's going to fetch the code. And I keep getting this authentication error. That's going to fetch the code and then merge it into my code. And since there's not much of an issue, there's no conflicts whatsoever, we're good to go. And it's already been committed. Since that merge had no conflicts, it automatically commits it. So if we write a git log here, we'll notice that the top is a merge branch master of the public repository to my local repository.
Yep. And it includes my add git to fun.html comment.
Yep. So once we're done with that, we just go ahead and say git push origin one more time and let it fail.
Why is yours failing?
I have no idea.
Mine's working like a champ.
And there we go. And now we can see that it was pushed up to the repository.
What you've got a green on master and a blue on master now. What on earth does that mean?
So, again, this is Poshkit doing it. It's wonderful magic. It's another heads-up display telling us master is basically, we've committed, but our version's a little different than what's in the public repository or our origin. And when it's blue, it means that we're at the same location, right? Yep. We're not differing, we're not ahead or behind any commits, that sort of thing. Now, if we pop back over to Visual Studio Online and hit refresh, we'll notice, ta-da, we have the merge of branch master as well as my commit. And you'll notice my commit came in before Steve's. And that's because,
whoa.
Yeah, kind of weird, right? Because Steve actually pushed it before I actually committed. But I committed locally, right? Yep. And since this is just another copy of the repository, it's going to pick up my change as I pushed it into the repository.
And you pushed it in to your local repository before I pushed my change into my local repository.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be ordered in a different way.
Yep.
Awesome.
Totally.
All right. You're going to pass things back over to me. I went ahead and made a change in there.
Yep.
I want to show people the easy way. for lack of a better term, right? So if you look here, I've got Visual Studio Online.
Yep.
And I've gone ahead and I've connected here to MVA Git. This is just how you'd connect to any other team project in TFS or VSO.
Mm-hmm.
I'm connected to it and it says, you must clone the repository before you get started. I'm going to click this little...
Pause for a second?
Yeah, yeah.
So one thing I want to note is that this is a learning demo and not a follow-along demo.
Yes.
So if you're trying to follow along, we're moving pretty quickly here.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yep. So from here, and you'd need your own Git repo for this particular piece. Most of the stuff that we're going to do, we're going to do locally, and we'll mm-hmm. show you how to create local repositories. So when we get into the more follow-along demos, we will be in an area where you can follow along because we're doing everything locally.
Yep.
And then you could, in theory, push to your own VSO account.
Yep.
So, but we've got ours. I've got MVA Git here, and I can go over here to this little plugin, this Connect to Team Projects piece, and it's going to show me all of my various things. And under MVA Git, I have a Hello World branch.
Repository,
thank you.
Yep.
It's a full repository. It's unrelated to James's demo. So this is something that's kind of unique. With Git, as opposed to Team Foundation version control, I can have a bunch of different repos that sit there. So I've got a ton of different repos. Well, I've got three. But could be a ton of repos. And Hello World is one of those. Now, I need to pull that down locally to this machine. So how I do that, there's a little button here, and it says Hello World. I can double click that, and that selects it, and then it says I gotta clone this repository to get started. To clone the repository, it says, hey, take a look at this. Hello World, you're gonna grab it, and you're gonna put it in Source Repos Hello World. Where did Source Repos come from? You know what? I want to change that because I'm going to put everything under C Git. So I'm going to use C/Git because I like really short things and delete that. But what if I wanted it to always default to that? There's a couple things. One last thing I should show you here on the setting things up. And there's options here when I drop down to settings. So I'm going to go into settings and look at this, Git settings. Voila! Everything's pulled for me. It's not pulled out of the Git settings file. I've logged in with my live account.
Mm-hmm.
It's automatically pulled everything from my live account. It's automatically configured everything. Brilliant.
Yep.
So I'm going to just change this to C:\Git because that's where I want to put all my stuff.
Yep.
I can click update on that. And then next time I go to that connection here and we want to download it, it's going to automatically clone the repository to there. So
yep.
Let's hit clone this repository, C Git, hello world. I'm all set up.
Ta-da.
Clone. Cloning the repository, I didn't have to cut, I didn't have to paste, I didn't have to type, I didn't have to do anything. By the way, there's my solution down here. Tells me it was cloned successfully. I'm gonna open up my solution, helloworld.sln. Prepared it. And my very advanced Hello World WinForm application. We're going to play on ages. I didn't build a XAML app. I didn't build any of that. Just something really simple. And over at my Solution Explorer, here's my form. It just has a button that says English. When we double click it, It waits for an operation to complete, since it's the very first time I've used this Visual Studio.
Oh, and Sean C. has told me that the issue with the dual prompt is a 1.3 issue. If you roll back to 1.2, it'll work just fine.
In the Git credentials?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know why I'm waiting for this operation to complete. It's taken a little while. While it's complete... Oh, well, no, there it went. So my message box is show hello world. Very simple. I've got no changes that I've made to any of these things. You can see all of these things are checked in, so you get the nice highlighted stuff that you might normally find. I'm going to look at the design, and I'm going to go back to my toolbox, and let me grab another button, drag it below this one, stretch it out, make a quick change to it, call the change German. Double click it. And in this one, we're going to say message box dot show Guten Tag Welt. And save it. And we might want to run it to test it just to make sure our application's working. No. Semicolon. So all the same things, Visual Studio still works.
Yep.
Or you did it. There we go. German. Guten Tag Welt. I can check on English. Hello world.
Yep.
There we go. What a wonderful app. More importantly, however, is if we look down here, we see this form1.cs is edited. There's a pending edit right here. From right-clicking on here, I can view my history. I can undo my changes. I can commit everything I'm used to doing. Yeah, it says commit instead of check-in, but frankly, mm-hmm. pretty straightforward at this point.
Something to also note here is that there's no stage here. There's no stage button.
Yeah, there's no stage button.
Yep.
Right? It's automatically figuring out the stages for me. And up here, I can see today's changes. I've got my initial commit here that I made at 5:06 a.m. And now I'm ready to keep going. Let's take a look at this change. Let's go back to the Team Explorer, though, because I think it's important that we see what it looks like in Team Explorer. So from here, I can look at my changes. And you'll notice that there are two things that were changed. Here are my included changes. Here are any potentially untracked files that are changed.
Yep.
I'm on my master branch. We haven't talked about branching yet. That's a more later thing. But I can commit right here by simply saying add German language support. And notice I can commit and push, and commit and sync. I'm just going to commit. What does that do when I commit? It committed locally. Mm-hmm. Now you'll see I've got no included changes. There's nothing to be committed. I'm back locally. Now, I can look at my unsynced commits, and I can see I've got one outgoing commit. That means I've got something. I'm behind the server. I need to push it up to the server. I can just click push right here. Mm-hmm. I can also see if there's any incoming commits. Now, this is something that I think outperforms your command line, because yep. I can see immediately if I'm behind.
Yep.
You couldn't see until you went to push or fetch or, mm-hmm. or pull, and that's when you determined it. I see it right here, right off the get.
Yep.
Now, one of the things that throws people is it has the word sync. There is no term in Git called sync. But sync is going to pull down locally, do a fetch, do a merge, do a push. Basically, it's going to do the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle. Let's go ahead and push sync. It's going to pull down the current branch, initiate any merges, and then push it right back up. So if James had slipped in there and made some changes, I'd be able to, I wouldn't even, they'd just come on down and be set for me.
Yep.
That's how easy it is to work within Visual Studio. Now the problem is, there are things that you cannot do in Visual Studio. You can't rebase, a type of merging where you're changing history. We can't create a couple different areas that we're pushing to. We can't add more remotes. There's a lot of things that aren't quite in Visual Studio yet. But for your common workflow, the thing we're demonstrating in this session, your very common workflow can be easily done. I did everything James did right in the UI, never had to leave the UI. You saw me working with Visual Studio very easily.
Yep.
In fact, if I had never downloaded Git on this machine, I didn't go and do posh Git, I didn't do any of that, it would still work. because it's based off of not the git command line, but a library called libgit2. Mm-hmm. So that's a kind of a difference. Right with it. And we'll talk about that when we get to Visual Studio. But there you have it. That's that easy, common workflow, and we're in. If I go back out, and I'm going to drop into looking at my history, I'm going to go switch from demo to Hello World and look at my contents of my Hello World directory. If I look at history, you'll see I added German language support. Here we added English. We could see all of these commits. And there it is, added the German language. It's my history laid out right here.
No, I think it's pretty cool to see this screen right here. So you'll notice on the left-hand side of the commits, there's different sized circles.
Yes. What on earth on different sized circles? What does that mean, James?
So the different sized circles, as you can see, when you hover above them, they tell you essentially what it means is how big of a commit was it? How major was that commit, right? How many files did it affect? How many files did it add, remove, modify, that sort of thing? So if we look at the really big one and hover above it, we can see that there's 11 files modified. If we look at the other ones, we'll see 2 files modified, 1 file modified, something like that.
I love that. That is something you don't get most places. Yeah. It's just right there.
Yep.
I do really like that. That's pretty neat. We can look at our commits as well, as history for the whole Hello World. We can look at our commits, see our commits, and added German language support. We can click on it, and we can actually see the comparisons in the files.
Yep.
Which I think is pretty cool. The other thing I can go down here and do is I can click and make any comments that I want for this commit that might say, ooh, we should also add French. whatever. Or there was a misspelling. If I'd misspelled something here in Guten Tag, or I wanted umlauts and something, you could make some comments here, and it saves these. And now anybody else can go and see those commits, see those changes, and we can have a conversation.
Yep.
So for code review, this is a really valuable tool. I gotta say, hands down, the Git support provided by TFS and Visual Studio Online, absolutely love it. Got some neat stuff in there.
Yep.
All right.
So if you actually refresh that.
Hey, look at that. I'll add that as a task for me.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good deal. All right. James, we showed a couple things. I showed how to set up Git with Visual Studio, and I actually went in and just said there's Git settings. I just typed in the settings right there. Boom. Handled everything for me.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
You went in and did some things. You did it all from the command line.
Yep.
We saw two different ways to just get in and contribute to a project.
Mm-hmm.
We have not explained Git at all.
Nope.
And frankly, if you're confused by the words commit, you're confused by the words pull and push and fetch and branches and all of those things, don't be alarmed. We're going to get into that in the very next session.
Yep.
So this, if you left now, you could simply open up Visual Studio or open up the command line and you could contribute and work with people. The problem is you'd probably work with them in a way that would make them angry. there are certain behaviors in Git that you might want to kind of pick up and internalize so that you're pushing nice, clean things. You're not just pushing straight into the main branch. We haven't talked about branches, some of those key areas.
Mm-hmm.
But you could start right now and you could contribute. James, anything else before we wrap? Any final comments?
I think we're good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
One of the things we're going to do before our next session and before we close is at the end, we're going to come in and look at particular questions before we wrap each session. So let's go ahead and wrap this session. Then on the next ones, we'll come in and look at those questions. Meanwhile, during this break, I believe we have another 10-minute break.
Yep.
During this break, we're going to be going in and answering some of those questions.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you.
Let's break.
Yeah.